Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Phase 1 Problem Determination, Troubleshooting 404 and 503 Responses. Today's presenter is Abraham Swise. Abraham has been a part of the WebSphere Virtual Enterprise Support Team. In this role, he works closely with customers to answer questions and resolve problems related to WebSphere Virtual Enterprise. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Abraham.
Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon. As Joseph said, my name is Abraham Swise, and I have been with the WebSphere Virtual Enterprise Support Team for the past 3 years. And today we'll be digging into some of the tools that are available to our customers in troubleshooting routing problems. Can we move to slide 2? Okay, here we see that we have the agenda. The first part of the agenda, we're going to give a brief overview of how the on-demand router works. Then once we get that, everyone on the same page, we'll move on to the tools that we can use to troubleshoot routing problems within the on-demand router. Can we move to slide 3, Joseph? Okay, here, definitely give a brief overview of how I have set up this presentation. When dealing with customers, not everyone has the same knowledge of how the on-demand router works. So the first 3 sections, we're going to go into a little more detail on how the on-demand router works and how it processes requests and how its routing table is managed and how it logs requests. Once we get the level set and everyone is on the same page on how the on-demand router works, we'll dig into the tools which are available to our customers. Can we move to slide 4? Okay, on this slide, we're going to discuss what the on-demand router does when it receives a request. The first thing we do is the ODR will check for any on-demand router routing rules which have been configured, and we'll try to match the request to one of the ODR routing rules. If there is a successful match, then we will use the target that was specified in the ODR routing rule to route the request to the backend resource. Now, when setting up ODR routing rules, you need to be careful. If you specify a wrong URI, and if an incoming request does match that routing rule, the ODR won't send the request to the backend app server, because even though it's a valid routing rule and the request matches it, if there's no backend resource that can handle the request, the ODR will just stop it in its tracks and return a 404. Now, if there are no ODR routing rules in place, the default action is to attempt to match the request to all the, we're going to take into consideration all the applications within the cell, and we'll make the appropriate match. Whichever application can handle the request, the ODR will route the request to that server or target resource. The next step, we have the application routing rules. Now, these are different from the ODR routing rules, where the ODR routing rules are centralized to the on-demand router and are configured at the ODR level. With the application routing rules, these are configured at the application level. So if you go to, from the admin console, applications, all applications, then select any particular application, you're going to see a tab that says routing rules. You select that, and then you can configure application routing rules at the work class level. So at this point, once we check for application routing rules, we'll check to see if there are any service policies configured. For the scope of this presentation, I won't be going into service policies in any detail because that will take an hour or so on its own. Okay, once we get past the service policies, and if there are no matches made, the final step is to check the generic server cluster routing rules. And unless you configure any generic server cluster routing rule policies on your own, the default behavior would be to return a 404 response. So that's the gist of how the ODR will process a request. Can we move to slide 5? Now here we're going to start the discussion about how the on-demand router, its routing table. Now most of you may be familiar with how a web server works, where from the WebSphere environment you generate a plugin configuration file. It would be propagated to the web server. You'd start up the web server and you'd load that static file into memory. And if there are any subsequent changes, you'd have to regenerate the plugin configuration file so the web server would be able to have an accurate representation of the live WebSphere environment. We had a paradigm shift in how the ODR works. We dynamically detect the state of the live WebSphere environment, and this is done using the ODC, or the on-demand configuration, or ODC for short. It maintains the state of the live WebSphere environment in memory, and the information is distributed among all processes within the cell, and each cell maintains its own ODC data. And again, like I said, the ODC component runs within every process and a live WebSphere environment. Can we move to slide 6? We use the P2P or peer-to-peer layer to propagate the ODC information between all the processes. So once you initially augment a profile with the WVE template, we will create two new ports, overlay underscore UDP address adapter and overlay TCP address adapter. The TCP port is used to pass the data, to share the data between all the processes within the WebSphere environment, and the UDP port is used for heartbeats to check the state of the servers. Now in the TCP port, we pass around the configuration and runtime information for each process. We pull the configuration information from the repository, and we obtain runtime information from the async PMI and node detect processes, which gives us environment about the PMI data and state of the node. Can we move to slide 7? Now, the P2P ensures that all the processes have up-to-date information, and this ensures the ODR has an accurate representation of the live WebSphere environment. Now, if you have any nodes in your cell which are ND processes, the ND processes don't have the P2P component, so we leverage the high availability bulletin board to get state information about those ND processes. This is the same process which core groups and core bridges utilize to pass around information about their state. Now, if you want to get a snapshot of what the ODC routing table looks like, you can generate the target XML file. And the target XML file would be valid for the time it was generated. The reason is because the ODC is dynamic. If there are any configuration changes made after the target XML was generated, you'd need to generate a new target XML to get a snapshot of what your live WebSphere environment looks like. Can we move to slide 8? Now here we're going to, these two slides, we're going to briefly go over the logs which are generated by the on-demand router. Now the initial logs, the proxy log and the local log, they're similar to the access logs generated by the web server. The main difference here is we have two different logs. First of all, the proxy log, we record all requests or all responses and requests that the ODR had sent to a backend resource, and that backend resources had responded either with a 202, 401, or 503 response, and that would be in the proxy log. Now, in the local log, if there were any requests that the ODR could not route to a backend resources, for example, the servers were all down, we'd log the 503 in the local log, or if you had an invalid URI, that would be logged in the local log. Can we move to slide 9? In 6.1.1, we introduced a new tracing facility called the binary trace facility. Due to time constraints, I won't be going into any more detail regarding this new tracing facility in this presentation, but there are plans to create a new presentation for this particular feature. But after you install or upgrade to version 6.1.1.0, you'll see two new log entries in the logs directory where the proxy and local log are logged. That's btrace and objects. These are production-ready traces which are always on, and in the btrace, every time there's a failed request, we will log information in the binary format in the btrace file where we can review using a trace command which is in the WebSphere install bin directory, and the objects file that we log error messages or any detailed messages. So if we have a problem where it occurs multiple times, we just reference the objects file. This way we don't keep logging the same entry over and over again. Okay, at this point, hopefully everyone's got the same understanding of how the on-demand router works. And the next section, we're going to start discussing the tools that are available for customers to help troubleshoot routing problems. Can we move to slide 10 now, Joseph? The first tool we're going to discuss is the ODR debug PI script. As by the name, you can tell this is a WAS admin script. It's response driven. What this means is we're only log information from the ODC tree at the time the problem occurs. And I think I forgot to mention in the previous discussion, when the data structure we use to maintain the live WebSphere state, we're going to refer to as the ODC tree or target tree. But for the ODR debug PI script, we will pull information from the ODC tree and log it in the system out log only for responses that failed. And this is something that you'd have to configure, which we will discuss in the next couple slides. Can we move to slide 11? Now, in this slide, we can see the usage information where you'd specify the ODR name, the response you want to track, which either 404, 503, or 200, and then the log level, which provides the detailed information on what you want to be logged in the system out log. Can we move to slide 12? Now, here are the log levels you can specify if you're at the 6110 or higher level, where 0, you can disable logging, than we got. As you can see, it's easy to determine. One, we have a one-line description. Two, we provide a little more information from the ODC tree, including the information posted in log level 1, and then log level 3, we dump out the entire ODC tree or target XML to the system out log. Can we move to slide 13? If you're working with versions of VE prior at 6105 or prior, these are the log levels. We got 1, 2, and at this level, there's no way to disable the ODR debug script from logging entries other than stopping and restarting the on-demand router. And at this level, it's a little more a performance hog. In the 6110 level, we added some additional performance enhancements where if there are no changes made to the target XML and we keep seeing the same error response being logged for the same ODC tree, we'll print out a reference to that original ODC tree instead of doing what we did in the 6105 level where we keep dumping out the same information over and over again, where it tended to cause some performance issues. Okay, can we move to slide 14 now? Okay, as you can see from this screen, there are two things we need to watch out for when setting up the ODR or enabling the ODR debug PI script. First thing is in the system out log, where this information is dumped to, the default log size, I believe, is 1 KB, and number of logs is 1, or historical logs is 1. Once this information starts getting logged, the log can wrap and you can lose valuable information. The other issue you got to watch out for is, as I mentioned before, if the response you're trying to track occurs repeatedly in a short period of time, you could see a performance hit. In 6110, to prevent this performance hit from becoming more prevalent, you can easily disable the ODR debug PI script using log level 0. Also, to prevent logs from wrapping, we usually recommend that for the system out logs, you increase the log size to 100 MB and historical logs to 10. That's if you have the disk space. If not, set it to whatever level is appropriate for your environment. And increasing the log size for the system out log is different than increasing the log size for the trace log when you enable tracing. You can see for the system out log, you'd need to go to the JVM logs. For the trace log, you'd need to go to the diagnostic log levels, and you'd have to increase the log size for each type of trace appropriately. Okay, can we move to the next slide? Now here we can see the example of after you execute the ODR debug PI script, we're going to print out some information about the parameters that you passed in, print out a line that says done. This is the way you'll know that script had completed successfully. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, here you can see an example output. We're using log level 2 here at the 6110 level, where we print out we print out a one-line description. Then after that, we print out more detailed information about from the ODC tree. Now, for this example, we see an invalid URI, so we give a brief description of why the request failed. Then we dump out all the list of the applications that are deployed to the WebSphere environment. Can we move to the next slide, please? Now, here we can see Example, I'll put a gun of the ODR debug PI script. Here we see a 503 response. We have the brief one-line description showing that all servers are stopped in the environment. And then we dump out the information from the ODC tree, which shows the list of the servers and their states. You can easily determine why the request failed. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, at this point, we're going to start discussing custom logging. Now, if you're familiar with the Apache custom logging, I believe when you use the mod_log module, this provides similar functionality, but we do this at the ODR tier instead of the WebSphere tier. And it's response-driven, so every time a response comes in and it matches a configured custom log setting, we'll dump the information out to whichever log file you had specified. Can we move on to the next slide, please?
And for your information, we are currently moving on to slide number 19.
Okay. Now, for the custom logs, like I said, just like the Apache log, you have situation or a particular action you're monitoring for, or a particular condition you're monitoring for. If we match that condition, then we'll take the appropriate action and log the information to the appropriate log file. Can we move to the next slide, please? Slide 20. Now, when creating the custom logging, this needs to be done via scripting. You can use the manage ODC JSON script to create the custom logins that you'd need. When you specify the particular condition you want, you'd use the HTTP operands, and then you can specify the action you want, take using the appropriate action. You can specify the directory and how the logs are displayed. Now, a quick trick when you're setting up the commands, the HTTP operands we use to create custom logs are the same operands we use when creating application routing rules. So if you want to get the correct syntax to pass into your script, if you go to, from the administrative console, if you go to applications, all applications, and select the application name, select routing rules, then select the work class, HTTP work class, and from there you can scroll down to the section about the rules and use the rule builder, and from there you can do a quick and dirty way of, a quick way of creating the ODR conditions to pass into your script to create the custom logging. Now, all the paths I'm giving are based on 611. ND611, so when using ND7.0, the path to get to the applications may be slightly different. Can we move to the next slide, please? Now, here's an example of how to create a custom log entry to capture 503 responses and dump it out to the 503.log file. As you can tell, it's real simple to do. The hardest part is just determining the format in which you want the log, the format that each entry should be logged. Once you get past that part, everything else is real simple. Okay, can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, now with the iFix tool, this is more of a proactive approach to managing your environment. Generally, if you're running into a defect which is causing a 404 or 503, there's a good chance another customer may have run that same problem, and we've already provided a fix for it. With this new iFix tool, which was recently introduced, it's a phone home tool. You install it in your WebSphere environment. It checks an online database or FTP server to determine what fixes are available and what fixes should be installed in your environment. It will create a zip file and pull that zip file down to your local environment. And this way you can check the descriptions of each APAR to see if it matches the symptoms that you're encountering. Also, from this link which I provided for the iFix tool, you can go directly to the FTP server where all the fixes are installed. If you pull down the zip file for your level of VE that you're using, once you open that up, there's going to be two files, a hierarchical file which will list the APARs we have and all the APARs that it superseded along with descriptions. So you can get a good idea of what fixes are available in the latest fix for VE. And the reason we do this is for every VE fix we push out, it's going to be a cumulative fix which contains all the fixes that have been recently delivered. And with the hierarchical file, you can have a good idea of what was fixed and the iFix. And like I said, taking this proactive approach, I suspect 75 to 80% of the time, you can resolve the problem rather quickly on your own without having to contact support. Okay, can we move to the next slide, please? Now, at this point, this is the rare cases, like 15% or 20% of the time, where a fix doesn't resolve a problem that you have and it's not a configuration problem. You want to determine where the problem lies, if it lies in the ODC tree or if it lies in a different component. Now, for routing problems, ARFM, the Autonomic Request Flow Manager, could be a potential cause of a 503 response. And if it's an ARFM issue, we'd have a different set of must gatherers than we want have for normal routing problems, 404 or 503s. And the first issue we'd want to confirm is if the problem is an ARFM. Can we move to the next slide, please? Now, one way to determine if it's an issue with ARFM would be to disable ARFM queuing, and this can be easily done by using the disable ARFM script. Once this script is run, it will create a custom property at the cell scope. So after you run disable ARFM, if you go to environment, cell, and custom properties, you will see this new custom property set and it will be picked up dynamically. So once you run this script and if the problem is resolved, you know the issues with the ARFM controller. If it doesn't resolve it, you'll know it's with the ODC component. Now, when running the disable ARFM script, you need to be careful because if you're leveraging service policies or the CPU overload protection, once you disable queuing, you're going to lose a little bit of functionality. With service policies, ARFM works at the micro level where we start reordering requests to maintain service level agreements. And for the CPU load overload protection, we won't start throttling requests to prevent the CPU from being overloaded on the backend resource. Can we move to the next slide? Okay, I discussed this information in the previous slide. Can we move to the next slide, please? Now, once you've determined which component is the source of the problem, if it's ARFM, you'd need to collect the ARFM must gathers, and if it's not with ARFM, you collect the regular ODR request failure must gathers. By doing this, you can save yourself a lot of time, because when the PMR gets opened, this is the first information we're going to ask for, and the sooner we get this information, the sooner we can provide resolution to you. And can we move to the next slide, please? At this point, the main goal of this presentation was I wanted to make sure that everyone had a good understanding of how the ODR worked and what tools were available to troubleshoot 404 and 503 responses, and being able to take a proactive approach to prevent problems from occurring in the future so you don't rediscover a problem other customers had. The title of the presentation could have been more appropriately understanding how the ODR works and using the existing tools to troubleshoot 404 and 503 responses. Hope the information here helped. Can we move to the next slide now? Okay, here are several references. There's two that would be of interest, which I believe should be reviewed. The first one is service differentiation. This discusses or provides more information about service policies and how ARFM works. In the last WST presentation I provided, there were several questions in the survey that people wanted more information about service policies. I hope this article addresses that. And we briefly discussed the target XML. The last link here provides more details about how to generate the target XML, and once you have it, what to do with it, how to analyze it, go through it, and determine where a problem may have occurred. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, here are additional resources for the WebSphere Technical Services Exchange. If you want to find out more information or other existing presentations out there, you can review this slide and you can get all the information you ever wanted to know about WSTE and also review other presentations that have been provided. At this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Joseph.
Thank you, Abraham, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Becca, we would like to open the line for questions.
At this time, I show no questions.
Thank you, Becca. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.